So, what happened? Well, what happened is that I lost ownership of the land. And because I lost ownership of the land, I lost control of what happened on the land. Okay? When you don't own the land, it's really hard to control what's going to happen on the land. That happened because I lost control of the land. And I lost control of the land because I had to sell the land to my neighbor who owns a construction company. And he's developed it. And I've had no say in it, even though I've lived there. So, no. What happened? Like, how did I lose control of the land? I lost control of the land because 8 years ago in March, first part of March, I had a bailiff, sheriff, show up in our home. And as he's sitting at the kitchen table, you know, kitchen table that my parents, my siblings, and I sat around, the table that Maureen and my kids and I sat around, shared the meals. I'm sitting on one side of the table, the bailiff slash sheriff sitting on the other side. And as he's telling me what's going to happen through a kitchen window, there's a convoy of trucks that rolled in and hauled away everything. Just like. That following week, there was a server that showed up at our door. The company that I had borrowed money from to buy out my mom after my dad died had made this document that was about yay thick. Basically, you just said, you know, you got 30 days to pay up your loan or you're out. The following week, our natural gas was cut off. This is in March of 2005. Our natural gas has got cut off, so no furnace, no hot water. And at that time, you know, I've got two teenage daughters. And they seem to take turns heating up water in the electric stove, and as they carried it to the bathroom, they would burn themselves. That was followed up with, I had our farm employment. And I had off-farm employment to put money, or not to put money, but to put food on the table, pay the gas bill, keep things going. And that came to an end. Couldn't do it, right? I'm not functioning well. I couldn't do it. That came to an end. And then on March 31st of that month, my marriage of 20 years came to an end. I know what it feels like to be humiliated. I know what it feels like to be absolutely stripped of all of what I thought mattered. I felt absolutely stripped and naked. Family farm of my son was lost due to external forces and internal forces. You know, we could talk about how there were external forces that affected this family farm. You know, we could talk about how in 1998 Asia had an economic hiccup. Remember, we're raising the best hogs in Alberta. Remember? They all got exported to Japan. Like, come on. Well, in Alberta, we export our best. Because I'm raising the best pigs in the province. They go to Asia. Asia has an economic hiccup. Oh, man, our farm lost $100,000 in 1 year, and that was the start. So we could talk about, you know, all the economic forces that are playing against the family farm. But I'd like to talk about from the inner forces that were at work in me. As you see, I lost ownership of the farm. In hindsight, I could have kept ownership of the land. in hindsight. And then if I kept ownership of the land, I could have controlled what happened out here. So I want to talk a little bit about some of the inner forces that were at work in me that caused the demise of this life-giving, award-winning family farm. When everything collapsed in 05, people said to me, "Must be pretty depressing. You must be depressed." I said, "Yeah." You know what? It would take me 6 years. It took me 6 years to figure this one out. I did not lose everything and then get depressed. I got depressed and then lost everything. When you're dealing with financial distress, it sits back here and it stirs and it stirs and it stirs and it stirs, man, and it keeps you awake at night. You're exhausted and you don't make good decisions and you don't eat well and you pull yourself right out of community. And man, I, now in hindsight, it took me, man, 6 years to figure this one out, but I got depressed. That's why I lost everything. Because remember what I told you about my grandfather? Let me tell you, when you get depressed, it don't function well. When I'm living under the pressure, right? I'm living under this external pressure upon our farm. Oh my gosh, I got depressed. And because I got depressed, this thing quit working. And seriously, man, I couldn't see the writing on the wall. I've learned a lot about depression. I remember at the time when everything was just before everything collapsed, I remember watching Oprah one day, and she was talking about depression, and I was, because I was at that time sort of wondering, man, am I depressed? Right? And Dimar, you and I are doing pastoral work, right? Am I depressed? Oprah, what I learned on Oprah was that if you're sad and blue for X number of days, I don't remember how many days that was, but if you're sad and blue for X number of days, you're clinically depressed, and you're clinically depressed, and you see your doctor, get some drugs to help you out. I remember thinking, well, am I sad and blue? No. I wasn't sad. When the farm was collapsing, I was not sad and blue. I didn't think I was depressed. Now, if you had asked me, are you pissed? Are you angry? Oh, I was like a volcano inside, ready to erupt. Every once in a while, that lid would come off and I would erupt, but man, I did everything I could to put a lid back on. Was I engaged in risky behavior? Oh, yes, I was engaged in risky behavior. Was I pulling myself out of community? I pulled myself right out of community. For those of you men, I'm giving you some signs of what male depression looks like. Pulled myself right out of community. Thought it was a good idea to start drinking after 8 years. Lost everything because I got depressed and I didn't know. If you don't know you're depressed, you can't do anything about it. And because I pulled myself so far out of community, nobody could step into my life and speak words that needed to be spoken. That's why a sheriff showed up. And what I've learned in this journey of life, man, if you don't make a decision, somebody else is going to. And we also learn in this journey of life, if you don't deal with your stuff's going to deal with you, and it ain't pretty. It ain't pretty. Give our next line. Remember where that big garden was? That's that area. After Now, my son and I, my kids and I, continued to live there since then. And just out of interest, the only reason I'm still living on this land, you know, it's an acreage now. I don't own it. I pay rent. But the reason I'm still living on this land is because the sheriff gave me some really good advice. You want to get some good advice on how to deal with financial collapse? Talk to someone who deals with it every man. He sat down at our kitchen table and he said, "Man," he said, "Colin, I've known you for 17 years. I really like you, man, but you're going to get screwed." And he said, "Level with me. Tell me exactly what's going on." And I did. And he said, "Okay, this is what you're going to do." The first person in my life actually stepped into my life and told me what to do. And what I've learned in my journey of life, man, you're dealing with someone who's deeply depressed, you got to tell him what to do. It was not much point him sitting down and saying, "Well, Colin, what do you think?" Because you can't think. At that point, I could not make a decision to save my life. Gave me some really good advice, and we've been able to keep the roof over my kid's head. I rent the house. I don't own it. I don't own this land. So two years ago, my son Joshua, who was 20 at the time, said, "Dad, let's grow a garden." I don't know why my 20-year-old son said, "Let's grow a garden," but we grew a garden, and then we grew a garden this year as well. And I show you that picture. Gilmar, go to the next one, too. This is a picture of last night. So I knew it was a possibility of freezing last night, so I thought I should go out, and I picked the rest of our corn. Picked a bunch of squash, because you see, I made a deal with one of the guys I work with. I got lots of squash. He's got lots of vine-ripened tomatoes. I took squash to work today. I got tomatoes. Some Swiss chard, some beets. I show you this picture and the other picture because it gives me a sense of hope. Quite plain and simply, corporate agribusiness is running over rural Alberta and everywhere else like a steamroller. You know, the family farm is being decimated. You know, you got farmers farming, but you know what? They're in all reality, man, they work for corporate agribusiness. Sure, they may own the land, and they may own the machinery, but they're told what to do and how to do it. And if you want to make it, you know, there's not a lot of freedom of decision making anymore. What I like about these slides is that we still have the memory. Okay, we as people still have the memory of how to grow good food. We intuitively know, every one of us intuitively knows how we want our food raised. Every one of us intuitively knows what food is good for us. And if you find yourself eating processed food out of a cardboard box, you're not eating that because intuitively you know it's good for you. You just bought a bill of goods from the media. This is good food. This is life-giving food. And that little patch, very small patch of soil, man, can it produce a lot of food. One of the great things that my son loves to do out of the garden is to share. You know, last night at 11 o'clock, he goes, "Dad, where's the flashlight? I need to go outside. I need to pick a zucchini so I can give to Melanie's in-laws. They want a zucchini." And son loves to share out of this garden. Why? Because we got an abundance. There's an abundance of food in this little patch of dirt, right? It's abundance. And it's life-giving, folks. This food is life-giving. And, you know, we got another spot with potatoes and carrots and beets and spinach. It's in a small piece of land. And what's my son doing? He's not doing anything different than his parents and his grandparents and his great-grandparents and great-great-grandparents and great-great-great-great-great-great-grandparents. My son is just simply following through with the tradition of what we as human beings know how to raise food. We know it, it's in us. And the hope is that we've not lost the memory. And my hope is also is that this new form of agriculture that we've seen in my time is not sustainable. It's not sustainable. And I got to say, I keep saying it, because let me tell you, folks, we've got a bumper upon bumper upon bumper crop out there. We've got yields that are just unheard of. Right now, there's farmers harvesting canola that is running 80 bushels to the acre. When I farmed, it was 20. Let me tell you, when you look out there right now, the agribusiness model of raising grain is working, and it's working real well. You know, that's why I got to keep telling myself, it's not sustainable, because, man, this year sure looks pretty nice.